This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending him his greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, whose main goal was to remind individuals about al-akhirah, وَذَكِّرْهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ, remind them about the days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even while speaking about this dunya, living upon this dunya, he would seek every opportunity to remind his comrades, his friends, his companions around him about the last day, about that returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus it's incumbent that even inside the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the last day, we find that the majority of ulama of ulum al-Quran have concluded that the final verse that was sent down to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is towards the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, some verse 281, if my memory serves me correct, or 283. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. Majority of ulama like Imam al-Suyuti in his works Al-Itqan fi Ulum al-Quran in two volumes concludes that this is the final verse sent down to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Only lived for some 9 days after this verse was sent down. And if you look at the siyaq, which means the context of this ayah, prior to it you find ayat speaking about riba, after it you find ayat speaking about the longest ayah inside the Quran known as ayatul dain, the ayah of debt or taking a loan. So in these affairs, umur dunyawiyah, in these affairs of the dunya, of al-mu'amalat, of transactions, of business dealings, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places this verse reminding us about وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, fear that day whereby you're going to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No soul, no individual will be oppressed or any wrong will be done to that individual. So just like that, we find that in these final few days or a week prior to that, those who received the A-level results or those who graduated with their degrees, etc., that we find that we need to remind ourselves not just about the worldly gain, about the gain inside al-akhirah. That many of us, rightfully as human beings, sometimes or wrongfully, we do actions for the sake of people that we find, and we begin to lose focus towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah reminds us inside the Quran, يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ. They are wary or they're scared about people, and they're not wary and scared about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that these individuals, or all of us individuals who went through that time of doing exams, whatever it may be, there's an element of fear that years of studying, years of focus, that what will my response be towards my parents, towards my peers, my friends, my siblings, my family members around me, or even the wider society. And that's why don't be surprised that some individuals have even gaining their results, have even committed suicide. It sounds strange, but it's been known that people who didn't achieve what they were expected to achieve, what they wanted to achieve, have taken their lives. And this concept, as we heard, is that Imam read as well, being shaqiyun wa sa'idun, about being in a state of wretchedness and being in a state of felicity. The Quran always has this manhaj inside the Quran to talk about az-zawjiyah, the opposites, about the good things, the bad things, the good life, the bad life, shirk, tawheed, the sun, the moon, etc. The whole Quran, وَمِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Everything in the Quran goes in a form of zawjiyah, pairs. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ, that you may ponder and reflect regarding this. So Allah speaks about people who are going to be shaqiyun, and those who are going to be in a state of felicity, and those in a state of wretchedness will remain there inside Jahannam, مَا دَامَتِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, as long as the heavens and the earth and they remain. Heavens and earth and remain for these individuals, meaning inside this punishment. And likewise, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ سُعِدُوا فَفِي الْجَنَّةِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا مَا دَامَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. And as for those who are going to be in a state of felicity, in a state of bliss, in a state of happiness, they'll also remain for eternity. أَطَاءً غَيْرَ مَجْذُوذ. أَطَاءً, a gift will be given to them. غَيْرَ مَجْذُوذ. Ulama have given this description inside books of tafasir, of it has no ending. That the reward, it just carries on for those individuals who are going to enter into paradise. Allah mentioned another place inside the Quran, فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. There's going to be a group of people who are going to be inside Jannah, and the people going to be inside As-Sa'ir. As-Sa'ir is one of the seven names that have been mentioned inside the Quran regarding Jahannam. So the Quran diverses or follows this path about concept, about people of paradise. As we find the end of Surah Al-Hashr as well, once again Allah speaks about the people of paradise, what would be given to those individuals who are the people of paradise, and those individuals who forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, go away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a side point, you read from Surah Az-Zumar, inside there as well, you find Allah describes Az-Zumar is the groups, the people coming in troops, in groups, those people who are going to be the people of Jahannam. What's the punishment going to be given to these individuals? And those are the people of who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how they're going to be driven in troops, in groups, and be brought to the gates of paradise. And you find, if you study these ayat inside Surah Zumar, that you find the only difference between the people of Jahannam and the people of Jannah is harf waw, one single letter. So ulama speak that this harf waw is speaking about waw al-istiqbaliyya, a waw of giving a reception, a greeting. That people of Jahannam are just going to be flung into Jahannam. There's no talking on the discussion with these individuals. You read the passage inside Surah Al-A'raf, whereby they're going to be asking or trying to speak to the people of paradise. Like another place in the Quran, they're going to try to speak to Malik, the custodian, try to speak to him. But he said to him, do not speak to these individuals, these wretched individuals who've derailed away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the people of paradise, so this istiqbaliyah, this greeting is given, that before the prize is given to you, before your certificate, your graduation, there's a presentation, there's a mentioning of your name, your success, your subjects, what you've done inside this life, which gives the person that happiness. You know, the Quran speaks the language of the nature, the psyche of the human being. Because sometimes we think the Quran speaks at a distance. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, وَتُوبِهِ مُتَشَابِهًا, Allah's given those things which are similar things that we deal with inside this dunya. That's what Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned, that you find that the names are the same, but the entity is going to be something different inside Al-Akhirah. So if you study the names inside the Quran, things, rivers of wine, water, honey, milk, pomegranates, apples, grapes, fruit, drink, clothing, brocades, women, whatever it may be, all the names are things that we deal with inside this dunya, but the entity will be something different. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use the language of the dunya? Because Allah ya'lamu man khalaq wa huwa latiful khabir. Does not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know what He has created? He is the most subtle, the most aware. So the human being needs this enticement that things need us to carry on inside this dunya, what's known as bushra, glad tidings. We all need that to strengthen the individual. So we need to give ourselves the glad tidings about al-akhirah, that the person who strives and struggles inside for the akhirah, there's going to be immense reward given to those individuals. And not to say that we shouldn't fret, we shouldn't despair, this natural fear, because it's the unseen. A person doesn't know what their results are going to be. It's natural to fear. Fears of what ulama speak about, al-khawf al-tabi'i, a natural fear. Maybe a person fears the darkness, fears wild animals, wild beasts, or any injections, or whatever it may be. There's no harm. La khawf fi dhalik. There's no harm. La haraj fi dhalik. There's no harm in having a natural fear. It's a fear which leads you to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's what a person should be worried about. Or a person does, as we began with, does certain things for the sake of the people. But if a person is fearing that they don't know what the result is going to be, there's no harm in the actual fear that any individual could hold inside their life. But the real fear should be that we should focus upon that, just like we focus upon what our parents may say or what the society may say, we should focus upon what will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to us on that day. Meaning the affairs of the last day. In kuntum tu'minuna billahi wal yawmil akhir. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about if you believe in Allah and the last day. Likewise, the Prophet alayhi salam, many ahadith, he mentioned, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut. Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, let that individual speak well or remain silent. What do we derive from this, from the Quran and the prophetic traditions, is it's not just verbal service that I believe in Allah. It's saying that if you believe in Allah on the last day, then do such and such actions. فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُدْ. Speak good or remain silent. Al-qawl is fi'l amali, is an action. Either speak well, if not, remain silent. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ جَارَهُ. Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, let a person show goodness to their neighbor. It's a physical action. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ. Whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the last day, let them show goodness, take care of the guest. Meaning that the Quran, when it tells us, or the prophetic traditions, to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't just stop there. there are physical actions we need to do to show or prove our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which that's why you find that people who, we don't want to enter into academia, but people who deviate from the belief of Ahl Sunnah, that's where they deviate. Because some people believe that actions are not part of Iman. They believe the action is not part of Iman. No matter what actions you do, it has no impact on your physical or spiritual Iman. So everyone's Iman is basically the same nature, which is an incorrect belief. Because the belief of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah is Iman is what exists inside the heart of the individual. وَنُطْقُ بِاللِّسَانِ تَصْدِيق بِالْقَلْبِ testification inside one's heart, belief inside one's heart, utterance with one's tongue, وَالْعَمَلْ بِالْجَوَارِحِ and actions via the limbs. وَالْإِيمَانِ يَزِيدُ وَيَنْقُصُ Iman, it goes up and it plummets down. يَزِيدُ بِالطَّاعَ وَيَنْقُصُ بِالْمَعْصِيَةِ That's it. If you understand this, you've understood what the creed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is. The rest is all, you can delve as much as you want into the belief. But as an average Muslim, just to understand this concept, al-iman yazidu bi-ta'a. Iman goes up when you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa yanqus bil-ma'siyah. It goes down when you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you live that inside your life, you'll be successful. The rest is a deeper reading of how people, certain technicalities or certain names or certain places, whatever it may be, or certain individuals, personalities. That's for a person who wants to delve deeper into academia, into aqa'id. But many of us, we just need to have these basic elements and live by these inside our life. Because as we mentioned many times, what is taqwa Allah? The consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you are. Whichever place or location you happen to be. That's what real taqwa Allah is. When you even you study the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not to see how people may have deviated in these names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The primary goal, the primary usage, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَى الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the most beautiful names and attributes. Call upon Him, implore upon Allah, ask Him via His beautiful names and attributes. That's the primary goal that we need to understand when you're reading the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ He's with you wherever you are. Meaning He sees over all of us and knows our intent and our actions. And He sees over everything that we do. That's what should be visualized inside our hearts and our mind. That wherever I'm traversing upon this earth, whatever I'm doing, I need to instill the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside my life. And likewise, we mentioned yesterday as well, inside the end of Surah Al-Muddathir that we find. Look at the, Allah mentions, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ What made you end up going into Saqar? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُسَلِّينَ Actions, once again, we never used to pray. وَلَمْ نَكُمْ نُطْعِمُ الْمُسْكِينَ We never used to feed the poor. وَكُنَّا نَخُودُ مَا الْخَائِدِينَ We used to waste and squander our time with those who were squandering the time. وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ And we used to reject the last day. So Allah says at the end, reject the last day. How did we reject the last day? By not carrying out the actions which are going to be rewarded inside the last day by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if those ayat seem far away from us or we don't have that relationship with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then at least, not to undermine any individual, at least 17 times a day, what do we read? Maliki yawmiddin, master or king of the day of judgment. Yawmiddin, a deen who is yawmul hisab, yawmul jaza. Day of reward, day of recompense, day of reckoning. As you look at the inference inside the Quran, how many times Allah uses yawm, yawm al-taghabun, yawm al-hisab. Every time Allah uses yawm, the day. That's why some ulama collected that inside the Quran is some 25 different names of the last day. And some have gone far beyond that, saying different attributes of sifat the last day. Imam Qurtubi goes to review, there's approximately 80 different names and attributes inside the Quran speaking about the last day. And a side point, Imam Qurtubi, a famous mufassir, he wrote a whole book speaking about tazkirah. A tazkira about the things that will take place inside the last day. Likewise, you find other works that we can go in and refresh our knowledge with regarding what Sheikh Dr. Sulaiman Ashqar, he wrote six collection books that he wrote. Amongst the books he wrote is Al-Qiyamatu Sughra, the minor day of judgment, before the greater day of judgment, speak about this preparation towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ashratu Sa'a by Yusuf Al-Wabil, which is Risala Al-Majister, presented in Umm al-Qura University many, many years ago. In the introduction to that book, he also speaks about importance about the last day. Why do we believe in the last day? Before we begin to speak about the 90 odd minor signs and the 10 major signs that will come towards the end of times. But in his muqaddam and his introduction, he's focused upon why are we studying about the last day. It's primarily about actions. And if you pick up Kitab al-Raqa'iq of Imam Bukhari or Muslim that we find speaking about the last day, or Sahih Muslim's Kitab al-Jannah wa Sifatu Na'imiha wa Ahliha, speak about the people of paradise and the descriptive nature of the people of paradise and inhabitants of paradise. read these to strengthen our iman and our belief, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described about the last day, or the reward, or may Allah forbid the punishment may be given to certain individuals inside yani al-akhirah. So what is our preparation for the last day? As you mentioned many times, all of this focus inside the Quran is that the aqil, the intellectual individual, is the one who sees the symbols, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and picks them up and begins to prepare for them. So when a person sees that their peers, their fellow colleagues, their fellow students, they're not focusing, or we have, you know, maybe, may Allah forbid, family members who didn't focus in their education, didn't focus inside their life, the intelligent individual is the one who sees that and says that I want to improve and to better that. Or one even may see even their own parents, that their parents are struggling. Their parents are working hard to keep them and have them a good life. They think, you know, I don't want my parents to carry on doing this struggle. I want to educate myself, to become a better skilled individual, or learn something to better the life of my parents. You know, that aspiration should be there amongst us. But unfortunately, find many of our aspirations, what are our aspirations that we want to gain? We speak about bettering our society, bettering the Muslim Ummah. The Muslim Ummah won't be bettered just over one night. And it is these years of plotting and planning and decisive any planning taking place to dismantle this Muslim Ummah. So it's not going to happen in one day. So the caliber of Muslims has to be raised, not just in our affairs of umur diniyah, but our Islamic concept. Even things of the world, we need to raise the bar amongst ourselves, raise our intellectual heights amongst ourselves and our spiritual practice. That then maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna Allah la yughayru ma biqawmin hatta yughayru ma bi anfusihim. Allah doesn't change the condition of people until they don't change any of their own self. And we find that just like some people may have crammed in a few minutes of revision, you know, when I was growing up, that's what we done, unfortunately. Now today I'm an imam, so but, you know, a few minutes walking into the exams, you read a few pages and then sat the exams. So that's what some people even do today. They believe that, you know, I've got the intellectual capability. Compare that to a person who's been studying all year. They may not be the wisest of people, but they've been studying from September from the previous year and maybe just reading a page a day. They've read hundreds of pages beyond you of comprehended or understood it. When they walk into the exam, they're definitely going to walk out with a better grade. And don't even think Islam. Some people think Islamically that a person who studies Islamic sciences, they're not so smart or not so intelligent individuals. They're people who I was in class with, and they just looked at the board once. And I went to school with these people. They weren't very intelligent. They weren't very smart. And I asked them, how comes I'm just busy looking at the board, copying everything. How comes you only looked at the board once? And you don't need to look at the board again. Because they were hufaz the Quran, because they memorized the Quran, they said, I looked at the board once, I've memorized it. That was it. I looked at the board once and I memorized it. I knew that I grew up with them. They weren't very smart. But just one glance at the board, they memorized it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even gives you qudra, gives you ability to memorize, to uphold or hold certain information. So when people think that Islamic knowledge doesn't strengthen you in other things, look at some of the ulama, the most smartest of individuals. The more they delve into the Quran, the more they delve into tafsir, the more intellectual individuals they become. What do you do inside a society? Those students who are not working too well, when we was growing up, what happened? Just go to Darul Uloom, send them somewhere else, get rid of them. It should be the opposite. The smartest intellectual students should be the ones selected to go further their Islamic studies. And likewise, those individuals need help inside their education. No one should undermine anyone's education. And a side point, we shouldn't undermine any individual. Any individual doing any skill, any job, whatever it may be, we should not undermine them, because we don't know who the وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ. We don't know who the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are. No one should think that because Allah's given me something that now I should look down at other people or undermine other people. No individual should think that. Everybody has a role that they play inside the society, and every single individual is precious in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single individual. The person who cleans maybe the lavatories or the toilets, it shouldn't be undermined. That's why the black woman who should take care of the masjid of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and she passed away. And they just offered her prayer. The Prophet alayhi salam, he was enraged. He was enraged because they thought no value of her. They thought no value of her. He was enraged. Why didn't you tell me that she's passed away? So this shows how the Prophet alayhi salam, he knew about his subjects. He knew about the people around him and he cared about them. And that's how a Muslim should be. But we should be worried about our youth, that which way they're heading, where they're going. Masjid shouldn't be a closed shop. We shouldn't be a closed environment that if people are being derailed away and say, just leave them alone. Maybe they decide to go into secular education, or maybe they're going to that school, or going to that environment. That's not the way we should be. We should have this care and this fear that this is where we're heading inside the wrong direction. We know the famous hadith of Safina, the hadith of the ship, whereby if we don't try to steer the ship or rescue people within the ship, all of us are going to drown. All of us are going to go towards a path of destruction. So we find that those people who flick a few pages or just read a few pages of the Quran and think success is going to be given to them inside al-akhirah. Allah mentions, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى. Man will only have that which he strives for. Whether it be even things of the dunya. A person gets up early in the morning, goes out to follow their career, their work, or whatever they do. It's a general sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes it may change, but it's natural sunnah tallahi ala al-ard, a sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the earth. وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ مَا سَعَى. Whoever strives and struggles for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant that for individual. Those people who want to become politicians, leaders in society, gain something, want prestige, want honor, want dignity, want fame, want to be sports personalities, whatever they may be, they will train hard. They will work hard. Don't think that they're not going to work hard towards what they want to achieve inside their life. Even the Quran mentions, فَإِنَّهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ كَمَا تَعْلَمُونَ. That they suffer like you suffer. That's how the Quran describes. This is the context of warfare. That they will suffer just like you suffer. They will strive like you strive. What's the difference? وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. The difference that what you aspire for is different what their aspiration is. That your aspiration is al-akhirah. Your goal is al-akhirah. That if glimpses are given inside this dunya, that's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the real goal for the believer is inside al-akhirah. And likewise, we find when an individual is inside an examination hall, every single individual is on their own. Allah taziru waziratun wizra ukhra. No soul carries a burden or the sin of another individual. And this is core Islamic belief. Because once again, people begin to deviate. People think that maybe someone else carries the burden of my sins. That's a Christian belief. That Jesus died for the sins of mankind. And don't be surprised. There's some Muslims who believe that the Prophet he died for the sins of mankind. As long as you just believe in the Prophet, you utter his name, you show a love, a reverence towards him, you're going to be forgiven. And that's a wrong creed to hold. Because even the prophets on the day of judgment are going to say, rescue us, rescue us. And even the Prophet is going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, go down in the state of sajda and make supplications and call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then it'll be said to him, irfa' ra'sak, raise your head. Sal tu'ta, ask it'll be given. Intercede and intercession will be granted. So it's not just going to be an open intercession that some of us that we think that the Prophet is just going to come along and intercede for any individual. If we haven't tried to do something inside this dunya, there's going to be, the chance of intercession are going to be very, very minimal. And that's why the Prophet, he always encouraged, even he said to his own family members, loved ones, ask whatever you want inside this dunya. He said to Fatima, his beloved daughter, radiallahu ta'ala, ask me whatever you want inside this dunya. But inside al-akhirah, there's not much I can do for you that I can ask or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit you with. وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا. Every single individual will come on the day of judgment farda on their own as a single entity. If we instill this inside our life, inside our mind as well, that I'm going to be just like on the examination hall or whatever you may be doing, I'm just sitting there all on my own. That I'm now responsible for my own actions or whatever I put pen to paper, I'm here all on my own. Likewise inside al-akhirah. As we began with, the same psyche, the same concept, the same worldly things that we live in. That inside al-akhirah, it's just a person's going to be there, standing all on their own. Some narrations that it mentions, the person will be coming, يُحْشَرُ النَّاسُ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ حُفَاتًا غُلًّا. People resurrected on the day of judgment, and on the day of judgment in a state of nudity, in a state of nakedness, barefooted, uncircumcised individuals. That's how people be resurrected on the day of judgment. So our mother Aisha, she asked this question, won't people be looking at one another if they're in that state? And the Prophet, you can say in mild words, he rebuked her, said the affair is going to be far more severe, that a person is going to be looking at the person next to him. What's their state? What state are they in? Are they dressed or undressed, or what's happened to them? Every single individual is going to be worried about their own self. Just as we mentioned, even the prophets were going to say that they sallim, sallim. Each prophet is going to go to one prophet, to another prophet, to another prophet, till eventually it comes to the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. So they're going to be worried on that day. Some people will sweat up to their ankles, up to their shanks, up to their knees, up to their waist, and up to their collarbone. Some people will be drowning in their sweat. And then some ulama, they describe these hadith, because you know we live in a world of trying to understand things in a material concept that we find. If I see something, if I can understand something, then I believe in it. And this is what the Western world teaches, that when you physically perceive and understand something, then I can acknowledge it. So people ask this question, that how can water become stagnant? How can you be drowning in your sweat? Because water flows. But once again, these are amur al-ghaybiyat. These are affairs of the unseen. You don't use your aql. You don't use your rationale. It's a golden rule about Islam. Don't use your aql, your rationale, to perceive or to understand what happens inside al-akhirah. How the reward will be inside al-akhirah, in its size, in its magnitude. How the punishment will be when Allah describes certain things. وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We hear and we obey. It's the way of those individuals. قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا. But because we live in this environment, we're bombarded. That people always, they think they're intellectual questions. But they're just trying to raise doubt. And some of us, because we're weak inside our faith, then that doubt enters into our mind that, yeah, maybe, how can that happen inside the last day? How will that take place? Because that's what these people are good at. Creating shubuhat, creating doubts about the last day. Doubting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we find in the hadith, all these questions come. That who created Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is from shaitan. We don't keep on asking these excessive questioning, asking all the time, till eventually we come into a state of becoming hayran, in a state of doubt and questioning and asking, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exist? Whereby the Quran, the whole Quran is speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe we should read more Quran inside our lives. Try to understand the language of the Quran. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to us about. That's why Allah mentions, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Were they created from nothing? Or were they created themselves? So everything has a point of creation. And Allah mentions at the end of Surah Al-Imran that you find, speaking about the فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. And in the creation of the heavens and the earth, the night and the day, ayat, signs for whom? لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, for people of lub. Lub هو العقل. Rationale is the mind. And then when you reflect over all of these creation, the heavens and earth, what does it lead you to? You know, if you have a PhD in sciences, or you reach academia, you're a professor, you're a lecturer, you claim to be an intellectual individual, ثُمَّ تَعْبُدُ الْأَصْنَمَ, then you worship an idol, you worship a statue, you worship a rock, you worship, may Allah forbid to use such language, people's private parts, then you claim to be intellectual. Whereas the Quran is saying, ulul albab, real men or people of intellectual capability, what happens to them? They see around them. رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. Education leads you to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this is another problem in our society, that when some Muslims, they get education, they become so full of themselves. They think that now I'm so intellectually supreme, or the ability to rationale, to use my rationale, I don't need Islam anymore. You know, I remember one individual used to come just to the Green Street Masjid just across the road when he was young. His exams were taking place, he used to come to the masjid. Natural fitrah. He acknowledged that I need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make my effort and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muslim parents, what did they say to him? Don't go masjid. You don't need to pray. Use your own mind. Use your own intellect. So rather than parents being happy that he's turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, made his effort and trying to come to the masjid, they're derailing him, saying, no, you're intellectually smart. Use your own mind. But imagine if, may Allah forbid, that a young individual is doing the exams, personal exams, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just switches their brain off at that moment in time. Where's your mind then? Where's your skill then? Where's your ability then? And how many people, that's happened to them inside that, all of a second, split second, skills have been taken away from them, speech has been taken away from them, sight has been taken away from them. So a person shouldn't become arrogant inside their life about the education that they gain or the skills that they gain. They should think as a blessing. That's why Sulaiman he said, هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي. This is from the virtue of Allah to test me, to see, am I going to be a person who's going to be grateful or ungrateful person towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he recognized that Sulaiman straight away. And look what Sulaiman had, the kingdom he had. He had the kingdom of al-jinni wal-ins. He had the kingdom of not just this world. He had the kingdom of the unseen. The jinn used to be there at his service. But he still went towards the path of showing gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَوْمَ يَفِرُ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ. Just like in the person examination, who doesn't want to know what about their parents, about their brothers, their sisters. Same thing on the last day. Person will flee away from their mother, from their father, from their spouse, or صَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِي, from their companion, their children. And every single individual have their own affair that they will be worried about. And that's why we find that people, even when they're doing exams, you find sometimes people are in a disheveled state, in a bad state, but they don't care about how they look, what their presentation is, because they just focus on that one goal. Same concept Allah mentions. If you look at the beginning of Surah Al-Hajj, that we find, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةِ شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah mentions at the beginning of Surah Al-Hajj, 22nd chapter of the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ, You know, the Quran is strange that sometimes it uses speak about believers, pious individuals, and sometimes the Quran says, Ya ayyuhan nas. كَأَنَّ الْخِطَابْ لِجَمِيعِ النَّاسِ, that is speaking to every single individual, whether they're Muslim or non-Muslim, whatever they may be, whatever background they may be, the whole of mankind. Ya ayyuhan nas, fear your Lord, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fear that day, whereby you find it's going to be inna zalzalata sa'ati shay'un azim. The shaking of the hour is going to be something so sublime, so great it's going to be on that day. Whereby you find that a mother who is breastfeeding a child will drop her child, and a pregnant woman will drop her load. وَتَرَى النَّاسَ السُّكَارَ وَمَا هُمْ بِالسُّكَارَ وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. You're going to find people in a state of drunkenness, helter-skelter, just running around. Just like you find that people inside the exam may be just running around just to get to the exam, just to get there, get their results, whatever it may be, or get to whatever it may be. Same thing. Allah is describing that the last day will be like this. People will be just running around. You'd think that people in a state of drunkenness, they've lost their mind. وَمَا هُمْ بِالسُّكَارَ. They're not drunk. They haven't lost their mind. But it's the adab, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is so severe, is going to derail them. Another place in the Quran, Allah mentions Surah Al-Qari', يَوْمَ يَكُونَ النَّاسُ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ. People are going to be like moths scattering around, going towards the light, bouncing off the light. Wherever there's fire, wherever there's heat, there's light, just rushing towards that, running in different directions. That's what will happen to people on the last day that we find. And nothing, the external beauty doesn't count, as they say. As we mentioned, when a person comes into examination, they don't care what they're looking at that moment in time. They're just worried about putting pen to paper, as they say. So same thing, that the external beauty is important at certain times and certain actions that you do. That now the world has become a world of cosmetics, that we find that externally that we need to look in certain things. Not to say it's haram or it's forbidden, but we find that going overboard. The Prophet mentioned, Ta'isa abdul dinar wa ta'isa abdul dirham. Wretched is the one who worships the pound and the dollar, the dinar and the dirham. Wretched. Then he mentioned, Wa abdul khamila wal khamisa, the one who worships certain clothing and certain garments. You know, that's why some people need to be seen in wearing a certain brand or a certain clothing or a certain dress or a certain attire. You know, I'm not saying it's haram, don't get me wrong, but some people, that's all they aspire for. And as we find that in today's society, what most youth just, what crepes they want to wear, you know, £300, £400, £500, up to £1,000. Okay, maybe you got the money, but is that all your aspiration is? That's it, to be dressed in a certain way, to be seen in a certain way, to be appreciated in a certain way. That's why many ulama say, you're not a man via the clothing that you wear. You're a man via your soul. The ability of your controlling your soul and your lust and your desires. That's what makes a real man. These things are tertiary things. A person has them or doesn't have them. It doesn't give an influence upon who you are. It's your ability of what you are, what you do inside your life. And your devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you that sharaf inside this dunya. وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْإِهْنِ الْمَنْفُوشِ. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that on that day, that even these great mountains that we see, they'll be turned into carded wool. So the whole external environment. يَوْمَ تُبَدُّ الْأَرْضُ خَيْرُ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ وَبَرَزُوا لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. If we look inside Surah Ibrahim, the 14th chapter of the Quran, that Allah will change this earth and this world that we see around us. It'll all be changed. Allah will bring it all into an ending, into a destruction. That nothing will matter upon the face of this earth. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْجِبَالِ. فَقُلْ يَنْسِفُهَا رَبِّي نَسْفَى. They ask you about these great big mountains, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will just wipe them away. Just rub them out. Great big mountain just be moved away. Cleft the sun, taken away. Likewise, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ, that the sun will be folded up. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ, the heavens will be cleft asunder. فَإِذَا بَرِقَ الْبَصَرُ وَخَسَفَ الْقَمَرُ وَجُمِعَ الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ. On that day we find the sun and the moon will be brought together. Everything will come to a standstill. Come to an ending. And the person will be, أَيْنَ الْمَفَرْ. Person will try to say, where can I flee? Where can I run? There's nowhere to run. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. The only place to run is to flee to Allah. That's why even in calamities, obstacles, hardships, difficulties, a sign of belief is that a person flees to Allah. That's a good sign. And even a calamity, ulama say that if a calamity brings you close to Allah, it's no longer a calamity. It's not a musibah. It's actually a ni'mah. Any calamity that befalls any one of us inside our life, a death of a loved one, loss of wealth, property, whatever it may be, whatever happens, if it brings you closer to Allah, then classify it as a blessing. Or classify it as a reminder that I'm coming closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what it is. It's the Western world that creates environment about always despairing, always complaining. And that's what the the Western, the English culture is, what do you find? Everything's just complaining. You just speak to someone, have a minute conversation with someone, and all they're going to do is just curse and revile and complain. The other day, the sun was too hot, and the person was swearing at the sun. Astaghfirullah. Literally, they're swearing at the sun. This bloody sun, this, that, and the other, has come out, it's too hot. You know, if it goes away, it's too cold. So this has an influence on us as Muslims, because we've been living for 50, 60, 70 years. Don't think the environment around you doesn't influence you. It can have an influence directly upon you, or it can have subtle influences upon you that certain things become acceptable inside society. So it becomes important to preserve our identity, what our Islamic belief is. لا تسبوا الدهر. Don't revile, don't curse time. Because time is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hadith Qudsi, it mentions. So don't curse, don't revile time. You know, so or people make comments like, the person is too young to die, or life is unfair. You know, or the world is unfair, or God is unfair. These are cliches that we're surrounded by. Muslims shouldn't fall prey for these cliches. Muslims should be strong inside their belief. Learn what their belief is, that this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who does certain things for a purpose, for us to better our own selves. And we find that when the exam paper is there and the information is given to us, many of us, as I mentioned, many of us, we knew what our grades were. We didn't need to open the envelope. We knew what the F and unclassified, whatever it was going to be, before we even opened the paper. Because this is the nature of the human being, that what you've presented inside this world. فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةِ الرَّاضِيَةِ. Whoever's scale is heavy, that person will be rejoicing. Another place inside Surah Al-A'raf, in the beginning, Allah mentions, those are going to be the successful individuals. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. That their scales are heavy on that day. Inside Surah Al-Isra, Allah mentioned, اِقْرَ كِتَابَك. On that day before that, Allah mentioned, everybody's going to come with their record tied to their neck. Tied to their own neck. And then we said to the individual, اِقْرَ كِتَابَك. كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. Sufficient. Read your own record. Read it yourself. Sufficient, suffice it, does that you yourself stand as a testimony about what you've done upon in this earth. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ يَسِيرًا وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَى أَهْلِي مَسْرُورًا. Whoever's been given their record in the right hand, once again, same concept as dunya. You give somebody something good in their right hand, give it to their hand. Allah mentions, مِنْ وَرَاءِ ظَهْرِهِ, from behind their back. If you give somebody something behind their back or throw it behind them, it's a sign of disrespect. That's what's going to happen to people of the left hand, sign of disrespect, that people who haven't passed the test. There's no izzah, there's no respect given to these individuals. But people who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or tried to make the effort. It's not just the most information that you wrote on the exam paper, it's the correct information. That's what counts with an examiner. So people can write sheets. When we were doing an Islamic university, some people wrote in a different language. Some people wrote, literally, they told me they wrote in a different language. It wasn't Islamic studies, but it was other subjects. We had to do other subjects part of the university curriculum. And he said, I just wrote 40 pages in Turkish language and just handed it in. The examiner didn't pay any attention to it. But in Islamic studies department, when some people were writing certain things and some teachers saw that you didn't practice what you were preaching, what you wrote down, they were physically, they would have a go at you. And some people, may Allah forbid, even cheated inside the exam. And when they're caught on an exam paper in an examination hall, their papers are ripped in their face and thrown in their face. Grown up men. Teachers walked by, saw them cheating, grabbed their paper, ripped it, threw it in their face, and get out the hall. Don't be surprised. Even Islamic studies, there'll be people who are doing something for what purpose? Maybe for the dunya, maybe for some position, maybe for some rank, maybe a salary, maybe a job that we find. So even exists, maybe for us it sounds strange and abstract concept. How could somebody be doing that? You know, how many people have gone to Islamic institutes and what has their intent been? Why have they been sent? As we mentioned, some have been sent there because their parents just sent them. They've done it. As soon as they come out of the system, they go back doing whatever it's doing. You need to be doing things from your heart, from your mind, a love, an aspiration. Even at a young age, you should just be taught. As Imam Ghazali mentioned, just learn, just memorize. Just memorize when you're young. Just learn when you're young. And just your niyyah will come at a later stage. Because young children don't understand concepts about the importance of intention at a young age. Just go and learn at that moment in time. But those who reach a certain age, we know why we're doing certain things. That's what you find that Allah, again, towards the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, mentioned, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Many people always ask this question, how can I gain immense understanding of Islamic studies, etc., whatever it may be? It's a simple answer. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Fear Allah, and Allah will teach you. The more you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you'll be able to understand certain things. Because Islam is a spiritual science. There's certain things you can do academically. There's a PhD specialist of hadith in Edinburgh University who's been studying hadith for 40 years of the Prophet alayhi salam. He's still not a Muslim to this day. It makes no difference. 40 years is hujjah against him. 40 years he's been reading hadith after hadith after hadith, more than we'll ever read in our life. One of the biggest mawsu'as, encyclopedias of hadith, is written by French orientalists in Arabic. That you just pick any word from any hadith and you put that word inside that encyclopedia, he's given you which book of hadith, which chapter, which section is all there, written by a French orientalist. No Muslim has done that service to this day. But has it helped him? Is this academia? Has it led him to paradise? Has it got him to paradise? Has it led him to Islam? Rather, becomes evidence against him. So we shouldn't approach Islam as just pure academia, rhetoric, dogma, theology. You approach Islam that is spiritually uplifting, spiritually bringing you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the strength, it gives you strength to go out in the rest of your life to do other things that you want to do. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned also about the opposite individual, أَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ. The person whose scale is light on that day, فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ. Then that person's literally means the mother. Because your mother is your point of return that you return back to. That you go back and you complain that maybe the examiner didn't mark your paper properly. It's unfair, whatever it may be. But here, for Ummu Hawiya, his mother will be the bottomless pit. Hawiya is another name of Jahannam we find inside the Quran. A bottomless pit that has no ending. And that's why some narration mentioned that in the companions sitting there, they heard a sound. They heard a sound as if something just touched the ground. And they asked the Prophet, what was that sound? You asked him, do you know what that sound was? He said that was the sound of a rock or a stone or a pebble which has been dropping in Jahannam for Sab'een Kharif, for 70 seasons. And it just landed at the bottom now. For 70 seasons been dropping and now it come to the end. For Ummu Hawiya. So a person should be fretful, just what we began with, fretful and we despair about what my results will be, what will happen to me. Person should be fearful about what will happen to me inside Jani Al-Akhirah. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِ فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُ ثُبُورًا وَيَصْلَى سَعِيرًا. Persons be given their record from behind their back. Their results are given to them. No respect to them. The person فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُ ثُبُورًا will begin to make continuous blame upon their own self. That's what inside Surah Al-Furqan Allah mentions. Person will say, woe upon me. What's happened to me? That I took fulanan, اتخذت fulanan خليلا. I took such and such individual as my friend. You know, and khalil isn't a friend actually. Khalil means an intimate friend, a close friend. وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah took Ibrahim alayhi salam as a close friend. And likewise the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. So that's why you find al-mar'u ala dini khalilihi. A man is upon the way of life of his friends. Let every single one of you see who your friends are. If your friends are not worried about the education, worried about putting that effort in, then if you're following that same path or you're with these individuals, then you're going to derail yourself. And you're going to say, regarding even this dunya and inside the akhirah, woe upon me, I took such and such individual as a friend. لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي. He took me away from guidance when I was upon guidance, took me away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we've seen it, ask us practitioner teachers, how many young people that we've seen, they were good individuals. And a few years later, you see them, they're away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because why? Because of friends around them. You know, in our environment, if you counted, we got numerous people memorize the Quran. Numerous people. Where are they? What's happened to them? You know, some of them have just derailed away because of slowly the people that they move around with, what happens, and they lose their path, they lose their footing. And so once again, we should be worried about our environment, that to try to preserve these people not to be taken away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also we find that when we're doing our exams, maybe we may think, you know, the examiner may overlook something and not see it. But on that day, there's no missing anything on that day, or anything will be overlooked, unless for that person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings that person close and says to that person, you've done such and such, you've done such and such, such and such, and the person acknowledges it. Allah says, I cover it up inside this dunya, I'm going to cover it up inside al-akhirah as well. But other than that, for the things that we do, it's all been documented. Allah mentions inside the Quran, people say, وَيَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Person saying that they woe to this book, this record, لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها. Not a small thing or great thing, except for it's all been written down. Everything is written down about every single one of us. Unless we make, in some hadith that mentions a person makes tawbah, if a person carries out a sin, and a person within 6 or 7 hours, a person makes tawbah, it will be wiped out for that individual, straight away. Or a person repents at a latent state inside life, makes tawbah sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be taken away. That's why, like what we heard inside the ayat from Surah Hud that we find, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ ذَلِكَ ذِكْرَ لِلذَّاكِرِينَ. Good deeds, they blot out, they wipe out, rub out bad deeds. If you read the tafsir of these ayat, or this ayat they find inside this Imam Suyuti's Ad-Durr al-Manthur, you find that one individual, he carried out what's known as a qubla, he kissed a strange woman. So he came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked the question that, you know, how can I atone myself? What's the repentance? What can I do to relieve myself? So the Prophet ﷺ, he remained silent. He kept on pushing, kept on asking the question. And then these verses came down. Establish a prayer in the beginning of the day and at the end of the day. And indeed, good deeds, they wipe out bad deeds. And the person said, is this khasli? Is this for me? لا بل هو عام للناس. But it's for every single individual. That good deeds, as we began with, as we mentioned about doing good deeds, will wipe out bad deeds. You know, even performing wudu that we find takes away one's minor sins. Person may have glanced at something, touched something, it wipes it away. Walking to the masjid takes away bad deeds, gives you a good deed, increases a rank for you. You know, if you really psychologically study this, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us more and more. That's how our scales will become heavy on that day. One good deed, Allah will multiply 10 times over, 100 times over, 700 times over. Inside Ramadan, ulama say it goes to millions of times over. And sabr, you find, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. When a person is patient inside their life, then their reward is بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. There's no numeric format. There's no numeric format for that person who's patient regarding their life. So as we mentioned, whatever calamity, whatever it may be, difficulty, obstacle, the more patient a person is, the more that you find that the reward will be in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those are the students who become the A-star. Those who be patient in staying away what everybody else may be doing. The gaming world, the music world, or the TikTok world, or whatever it may be. You know, if you study the TikTok world at the moment, certain countries like China ban TikTok. People invented it, they banned it. Why? Because they know the stupidity of people. That as millions, and look at the Muslim world, the highest ranking people who follow or have their silly videos, whatever it may be, is the Muslim world. And the other intelligent people, what they're doing? They're instilling within their youth, inside the people, higher aspirations. You know, I'm not saying we shouldn't have a laugh, but that's all the world has become. It's just a media social world of messages being sent from here. And even study the amount of time. You know, before scrolling used to be limited. Now what is it? Unlimited scrolling. You just carry on scrolling, wasting your time. Minutes, hours on end. They say an average person spends 3 to 4 hours in a day. 3 to 4 hours in a day on the phone. Doing what? Rubbish. And if you divide your life up, if most of us live between Bayna Sittin or Sabin, the average age as prophesied by the Prophet ﷺ, 60 to 70 years, take away the years before puberty. 13, 14 years are gone there. Take away the years that we sleep. 10, 15 years are gone there. Take away, I know it may sound like a joke, the amount of, not minutes or days, the years you spend in the toilet. Okay? Take that all out. What are you left with realistically? You're left with about 10 years. 10 to 15 years of your life you're left with. That's about it, really, realistically. So that's something to think about. That's if we hit 60, 70. If we hit that age. And if we don't, then we've only got a year or 2 years of actions to do inside this dunya, in all honesty. But if a person's tried, those 1 or 2 years will become magnified many times over. There are some companions in a state of janaba, become Muslim, in a state of janaba, passed away, and they're being raised into the heavens. And guess what? The angels are giving this individual a ghusl. Didn't do much. Amala bi qaleel. Done small actions, but their reward became immense. Because at that moment in time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala picked up on the action. So same thing with many of us, even though we may have practiced Islam late or may not be doing so much, when you know about Islam, focus to the best of your ability. Exert yourself, just like you exerted inside these exams, inside your life, whatever remains of your life, exert yourself, focus yourself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless those moments inside your life. So this record that we find that we think something could be missing, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the angels won't, kiraman katibin, ya'lamuna ma taf'aloon. These noble scribes, they know what you are doing. They are writing down. They are there with us. They see us. There are some narrations that mention that when we do a bad deed, one of them, they turn away from us. They find it repulsive that they turn away from us. And like what it's other hadith it mentioned, when a person is doing an evil action, an haram action, the angels are lifted from them. Lifted from that individual. And when they return back to being sober, being calm, it returns back. That's what some ulama based upon his hadith, I said a person who carries out a major sin, they say he's become a disbeliever. You know, this is a minute view. Let's make this crystal clear, because some people try to extract this and to say the person who carries out major sin has become a disbeliever. But you can see where the concept comes from. Because the hadith mentions that the angels turn away or the iman is lifted from them. So they say that on that basis, because iman is lifted and the person is not a mu'min, hina yazni, a person not a believer when they're committing zina. So they say because iman is lifted by an individual, so if they died committing zina, so they must be a disbelieving individual, even though that is not the most accurate view and the consensus view. And likewise, a person is not a believer, hina yashrabul khamr, person not a believer whilst they're drinking alcohol, meaning that iman has been lifted from them at that moment in time. That if they die, they're in a very, very, very difficult situation. Very, very difficult situation. Now, we should be always worried about that inside our life, that if a person dies disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's a dangerous situation. And my personal advice has always been to young individuals that no matter what sins, no, I'm saying you should sin inside your life. Whatever sins you do inside your life, keep it personal. Keep it to yourself. Don't ever become an individual who spreads sins to another individual. I know people inside my life who never touched drugs inside their life. And after a short while, they began to dibble and dabble in drugs. They began to traffic drugs, sell drugs, take drugs, became whatever you want to call it in today's world, drug lords, whatever it may be. And now when they look back in their life and they regret what they've done. Because why? They said there's masses of people that they've now enticed them, opened the doors for them to enter into vice. And they feel they're never going to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though we hope they're going to be forgiven. But that shows regret. In hadith and sunnah, Ibn Majah, in the nadam huwa tawbah. A nadam, regret, is tawbah. So a person, even as a Muslim, when you sin, your sin should be your own sin. Try not to spread your sin. It may sound slightly hypocritical, but just like a father, if he smokes, he doesn't want his son to smoke. And other people may say, well, you smoke, there's no harm in your son smoking. No, it's a natural feeling, a natural concept. Same thing as a Muslim. If I sin, I don't want you to sin as a Muslim. There's some fuqa I've mentioned, it may sound strange. They say when a person is drinking alcohol and you're sitting with your friend, you don't say like these people say, you need bottoms up, cheers, or whatever it may be. Fuqa said, in books of fiqh, says, you should say to the person, ittaqillah fi Allah. Why? Because perhaps they may restrain. Perhaps they might stop doing the action. Not like today, Muslims themselves. What do? They enjoy vice. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا أَخْرَةٌ. We spread vice amongst our own souls. We do haram. We want other people to do haram. We want them to join in. And some of our friends as well. You find shayateen wal-jinni wal-ins. Don't think the devils are just the jinn. They're amongst human beings. You know, you try to practice your deen, fix up your life, get on with your life, they'll come along and say, no, akhi, remember those days like this, like that. What for? Remember what days? Days of ayyamul jahiliyah, of kufr, of disbelief? No, bro, don't you remember that? It was like this, we were like that. When you're going towards Jahannam, where are they going to be? And the strange thing, the exams that we do inside this dunya, we don't even know what the questions are. And look at the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us what the questions are and told us the answers. Three basic questions. Man Rabbuk, who is your Lord? All of us, we know our Lord is who? Allah. Ma dinuk, what is your religion? What's your way of life? We all know our way of life is al-Islam. And who is this Prophet I was sent to you? None other than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Three simple questions. Questions are given and answers are given. So why will so many people fail? How is it plausible? As Egyptians say, غير معقول. It doesn't make sense. How will people fail answering these questions? If we all know what the questions are and we can't answer them, how will it be possible a person won't be able to say Allah in the grave? How is that going to happen? Why are we not going to be able to say? Allah mentions inside the Quran, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Inside Surah Ibrahim, Allah mentions to give ithbat, affirmation to those people to say, as Imam Sa'd inside his tafsir says, it says, قَوْلُ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, to say La ilaha illallah. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Have knowledge that none has the right to be worshipped except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you just say, I heard, لَا أَدْرِي, لَا أَدْرِي, I don't know, I don't know. I heard people saying something, the name Allah, but I don't know. That's what, because remember, your limbs will testify against you, your body will testify against you inside. That's what we find as-salah, inside, we find inside the grave will be a form of light, nur for the individual. inside the grave. And what is your way of life? If I don't know way of life, it's like now, if I ask you now, okay, even myself, look, subliminally, I know Liverpool beat, what was it, Bournemouth 9-0. Subliminal message. I don't really follow, but just walking around, whatever, and the later on game was whatever, Arsenal at 5:30, whatever kickoff it was going to be, do you understand? Subliminally, look how you pick up certain things. That is all there inside the mind. How many companions' names do we know? How many football players' names do we know? How many goals do we know about the Championship League? Who's playing who? What team? What place? What location? What country? Who's on the bench? Who's not the bench? Which manager's going to come? How they're going to fly? How they're going to dress? What they're going to look like? We all know that. We all know that, don't we? But what do we know about our deen, about Islam? You know, not to say that we should know these things. We live in this culture because it's a form of engagement, because this is their culture. That you need to know what these people, what they live, what they thrive for. It becomes a point of engagement with them. You can't be a total abstract individual, live inside this country for 50, 60 years, don't speak their language, don't understand their culture, don't understand who they are, what their psyche is, think that we stay away from them. Because we've been here for many years. We're not leaving this country now anytime soon. No one's going to leave this country, or that dream world that people are going to all of a sudden fly out of here and go to another place. That's not going to happen. We're here to stay now. So you have to engage inside the society. So the question about what is your way of life? Do we know what our way of life is? And the third question is, who is our prophet? You know, how many of us know who the prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is? How many of us have read a book of seerah? You know, seek inspiration, aspiration from his life, about his personality, the type of person he was, how he lived, how he talked, how he dressed, how he engaged with people. That should be the uphold benchmark. You know, that's what I say to people. Don't look at the world around us, because all of us will fall short. And some of us are falling short dramatically. Focus on the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, because that's where you learn. That's where tarbiyah is from a person, when they see how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was in every single situation inside his life. So as we mentioned, that these questions that we know what the question, we know the answers, what they are. And some of us are going to say, Rabbi Ju'un. There's no resits. So if you flunked maybe an exam now, you can come back and resit that exam or try it again this year or next year. But in the akhirah, there's no concept when you say, Rabbi Ji'un la'alli a'malu salihan fima tarak. Oh my Lord, give me a chance to do a reset. There's no resitting. Or people ask, they always ask this question about, in Jannah, can I read Salah? There's no Salah in Jannah. Obviously, we're going to meet on Yawm al-Jum'ah. There's no concept that now in Jannah start reading Salah, or now in Jannah start being a good person, because everybody in Jannah is going to be good people. We're going to take away all the rancor and the ill feeling, which is going to be final stage of going to Jannah, take it away, and everybody is going to be one heart inside Jannah. But the striving and struggling is going to be inside this dunya. And as we began with, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ لَاللَّهِ, then we find that inside Surah Al-Hashr, يَا يُلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَالْتَنْبُرْ نَفْسُمْ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. Or you believe fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and let every soul see what it has prepared for tomorrow. That's what we need to say. We see what we're going to prepare or what we're going to send for the following day. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Don't become like those individuals who forgot Allah, so Allah made them forget their own self. And that's a sign that the more that you become derailed away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you're drifting away. And the more that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pulling you back, bringing you back to the masjid, bringing you back to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, count that as a blessing that Allah is giving us. And Allah gives all of us an opportunity. Every single Muslim, even non-Muslim, gives them opportunities to show his signs to come back to him. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq and success, and all of our young brothers or old brothers who carried out the exams and the efforts that they put in, or whatever grade that you got. Just be content and be happy with yourself, and take that as a stepping stone to better yourself, as we mentioned, to better ourselves inside Al-Akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the success and grant us, put these words in a mizan of hasanat. وَقُولُوا قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ لَلِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ.